Don't say we didn't warn you. That Daenerys Targaryen is a bad egg. King's Landing is burnt to a crisp. Cersei and Jaime are no more. And we're all still in shock, but we fight on. It's the Rewind Rates, Game of Thrones, Final Season, Episode 5, Player Ratings.
Let me die, Jake. Please don't let me die. Please don't let me die. I don't want to die.
Just look at me. Look at me.
Not like this.
Look me in the eye. Don't look away. Don't look. Look at me. Just look at me. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Only us.
If you haven't already, please make sure to subscribe to our dedicated podcast channel for The Rewind. You can find it by searching The Rewind on all good podcast apps. Please also be sure to rate the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. Joining me today for our toast to the toasted is Donny Mahoney, as usual, and first-time podcaster, long-time Game of Thrones fanatic, Chloe Gilday. Chloe, how excited are you to be rating with us today?
I'm so excited because, like you said, huge Game of Thrones fan, and I don't often get the chance to talk about it like this, so I'm very excited. I can't wait. It's usually just office chat and not all of us watch it, so yeah, I'm excited.
Good stuff. Donny, you are joining us from Austria today. You're a lot more dedicated. Both Donny and Mick are out of the country this week, but Donny, being the dedicated fan of Game of Thrones, unlike that Mick McCarthy, who's only a fair-weathered lad. Donny, you're coming in to us live from Austria. Did you enjoy the show?
Oh, it's a difficult question to answer, Mark. I just want to say that, unfortunately, I won't be bringing any of Mick's patented Game of Thrones accents, so or impressions, excuse me, his patented Game of Thrones impressions. So apologies in advance to all listeners.
His brand is top-notch.
His brand is top-notch, but Chloe, you're going to have to fill in for him.
Oh, I won't be it, no. There's no way I could do it as well as him. No, I won't even try.
So lads, anyway, let's get into it. A mad episode. It seems to have really split opinion down the middle. Some people loved it. Some people were really annoyed by it. Chloe, what did you make?
Oh, it's very hard to say because I have to say it kind of went the way I thought it was going to go. Like, I wasn't hugely shocked by what happened, but I wasn't completely outraged by it. There was definitely things wrong with it, definitely things I wasn't happy with, but overall I wasn't completely annoyed with it. It seems that most people were very annoyed about it. Like, social media was not a nice place. Twitter was absolutely really not in a good place last night, but yeah, I it kind of went the way I thought it would go, so I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing.
Donny?
Yeah, I'm going to echo Chloe there. It just seemed a tad bit violent. Did anybody notice that?
Well, I have to say, though, I kind of enjoyed the drama.
Yeah, I have no problem with the violence.
It'd been a while since, because the Battle of Winterfell one, you couldn't see anything, like, but it was still really enjoyable. But this one, you literally saw every single injury, like, and it was obviously really, I was sick watching it, like, I felt sick, but I thought it was really, really well done. Like, it looked amazing as well.
It was like being on the ground in a terrorist attack.
Well, it was actually like, this is probably really bad to say, but it was like 9/11 or something. Like, all the ash, like, and everything. Oh, my
just
God.
And also the feeling kind of hopelessness. I think actually we'll even get into it later on, probably when we come to rating John. But it was the first time, even in the, like, when it was during the Battle of Winterfell or whatever, we're always laughing at John and criticizing him for, like, going headfirst into battle. But even this one, he just seemed hopeless. He didn't know what to do. They're all kind of looking, going, there's no way we can stop
And
this.
It was absolutely relentless. Like, I remember just being like, okay, that has to be it. Like, please stop. And she did not, she did not give up. Like, it just was nonstop for the whole thing. So it was a good episode in that it was so dramatic and really, like, you were really gripped by the whole thing. But yeah, I thought it was really enjoyable.
Also a great episode because there was no Bran.
So. Good old Bran.
He's going to have to get the finger out surely for the final episode and do something.
Yeah, like, I don't even know how they're going to bring him into it. We're probably not getting into this right away, but there's just so many things that they have to tie up in the last episode. It seems insane that they have to pack all that in, and Bran is like part of that too. I don't know where he's gonna come into it now.
Yeah, Donny, I suppose a lot of the criticism of last week's episode seems to center around the fact that they've simply turned Daenerys into the Mad Queen far too quickly. Like, there wasn't time to let that story unfold. Did you find that, or was it something that's like, you know, actually we don't need everything dragged out for seasons upon seasons. And also there were hints at it, I suppose, kind of an underlying theme of that throughout the whole show. But I suppose it's only really in the last episode after Missandei was killed. They showed one shot of her, one scene where she hadn't been eaten and she had some bags under her eyes that she seemed to have lost the mind.
I have Daenerys as to rate this week, and it gets me right into her ranking. I have her as a 4, and I just think, yeah, all the motivation is there, and I guess it just comes, like, does that heel turn, I guess it really comes down to it, to the question, is it deserved? What do you see her over whatever the previous 7 seasons and then all of the season as, like, a virtuous person who just snapped, or was this in her character all along? I guess people have a lot of different readings of her. I always kind of found the Esso scenes, like, the worst scenes, and or the ones that I was the least engaged in as a viewer or a fan. I know a lot of other people liked her. I could see why she snapped when she snapped, and the bells didn't seem to really have much of an effect on her empathy or anything like that. But I don't know. To me, I just think, like, I have mixed feelings about it. I think she was sort of set up by the show to fail in a way. And, now that Cersei's gone and now we have an even bigger female villain, which it just makes me a little bit uncomfortable, but I don't know. I'm a bit down on her and where she's gotten to.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was my point as well, is that I wasn't surprised in the direction they've taken her in, but only since this season. Like, I didn't really see her go. She was, for all up until this season, she was absolutely, like, she was everyone's hero. She was who you were rooting for the whole time. And the fact that she was, like, a strong female character and all that was, like, a plus. So the fact that she just, this decline has only happened over, I wouldn't even say this whole season, probably the last 3 episodes or something. It was just very kind of rushed or something. And like I actually think if you ask the writers of Game of Thrones, they'd be like, oh yeah, but remember she did this and remember she did this, you know, over the whole show. But like, in a way, it's kind of disappointing now that she's not the one that we have to root for anymore. Like, it's kind of, I don't know, it's disappointing in a way that's the direction she's gone in.
Yeah, the one thing I found strange was that, like, I know, like, even in the episode, even in the season, as bad as it is, like, you could pinpoint, right, well, she's lost Missandei, she's lost Jorah Mormont.
Yeah, John's betrayed
that,
her.
Yeah, all that, that she's every reason to go crazy. They have kind of done that. But it's like, why didn't she then go crazy, say, when, literally just when they killed Missandei and just burn everything down then? Mm. It didn't make sense for her to strategically take out, say, the Iron Fleet, do everything right. And she seemed to just flip when the bells started ringing, the people that they had surrendered, which is the last... it's the last time you'd think that she'd actually go mad, because she's won. Like, surely she should have went mad. You know, like, someone doesn't just, it's like the no TV and no something something make Homer go something. It's like, sorry, no TV and no beer make Homer go something something. It's like, she just, it was almost like the bells just like, oh yeah, sorry, yeah, I meant to go mental here.
Yeah, this is the thing that's going to trigger me. Yeah.
Yeah, if she just flipped when Missandei was killed, it would have made more sense. She seemed to be more conniving even, and scheming, just pure mad.
Well, I suppose the scene with her and John was supposed to be, you know, the last kind of thing that sent her over the edge or whatever. I think I probably wouldn't have given her a 4, because I actually think she was kind of like, she was extreme. Like, in saying that, I was going to say she was very entertaining for the episode, but she actually wasn't really in it that much.
Yeah.
Like, it was more you were just on the ground, like, seeing the devastation she was causing, but she wasn't actually in it that much.
I suppose she kind of became the dragon, if that makes sense. But, Donny, you got to remember, this isn't a soundness rankings. These are a ratings for, like, how she did as her own character. Now, there's 2 ways of looking at this. She got the job done. She burnt down King's Landing. She burnt down the Red Keep. Cersei's dead. She, now the throne is hers, really. But maybe she didn't look enough to the long term. She also burnt everyone that she's meant to rule. And she has all her subjects, bar Grey Worm and, I suppose, the army. Bar the army. Everyone would have obviously now turned on her for the last episode.
Yeah, I had her as an 8, especially when she... the way she burned Varys, that was pretty cool. And when she, you know, just she took out the Dragon Fleet in about 2 seconds, all really well done. Surprising the Golden Company catching them off guard, all brilliantly done. I deducted her 4 points for genocide because I think you just can't, like, whatever about soundness rankings. She destroyed the place that she was trying to rule. There's nobody there anymore. And she started a war, another war with the North, basically. And ultimately, it's hard to see for me an endgame of the show where, you know, she wins and like the Starks are defeated. So I think she's sort of sown her own seeds of destruction here. I mean, her journey, like I was watching the show with my wife who hadn't seen last week's episode, but had seen previous one, the Battle of Winterfell episode, and not a fan. And she was just like, what's happened to Daenerys here? What have I missed in one episode where like she's gone from fighting the dead on the ground and like being quite heroic to like completely like you know, the biggest villain in pro wrestling history? I'm trying to think of one, maybe like I don't know, Mark, who would you say?
She's,
like,
I suppose like she's Vince McMahon.
yeah, basically, yeah.
She's the authority, and you've got the likes, you know, you've got people who, you know, Stone Cold he didn't want to be the hero, but he just had to, he was the hero WWE Universe needed, and so was Jon Snow. Speaking of people with low ratings, I had Tyrion this week, and like, Jesus, Tyrion. I mean,
the poor man,
yeah, his heart is in the right place all the time, but week after week, we are criticizing him for making terrible reads.
Did you guys give him a terrible rating last week?
We give him a terrible rating every week.
Okay.
He's had terrible plans. He's like, if you look at last week, he underestimated how bad Cersei can be. This week, yet again, first of all, you can see Varys has been proven right. And Tyrion, all his different schemes throughout the episode, trying to, say to Dany and Grey Worm, if they start ringing the bells, withdraw your troops. He, for some reason, had hoped against hope that that would work. Didn't work, obviously. Smuggling Jamie out of the Red Keep after he saved Cersei didn't work out. Everything Tyrion planned went to shit. So I've given him a 3 out of 10, despite the fact that he had everyone's best interests at heart. But yeah, like,
I was going to say, I probably wouldn't have given him as low as that, because I still think he's like the do-gooder all the time. He's really always trying to make everything peaceful and like, just wants the best for everyone. And like, he's so clearly in love with Dany. Like, that's, I think, like, I don't know if that's ever actually been addressed. Do we not think he's in love with her?
I talked about it last week when I said something. I don't remember what I was saying, but I was saying that he was in love with, yeah, Dany or Sansa. That he was kind of, that we were just talking about why he wasn't getting any, basically.
That was a discussion that
he got into retirement.
Yeah.
But I
think he is in love with her. I think that's the reason why he stood by her all this time. And actually, I think he deep down knew this is exactly what was going to happen. Like you said, when he said to her about the bells, he knew that that wasn't going to stop her. I think he knew deep down, like you said, he was just hoping, like, but I think he knew that she had descended into this bad place or whatever.
The other thing, I suppose, was that his plans do work on paper this week. They did work on paper in terms of, like, I'm arguing against myself here, that maybe he should get a higher rating, but like, the thing of ringing out the bells was a good idea if Daenerys hadn't flipped. The Jaime thing, obviously he got that far, but again, if Daenerys hadn't flipped, the thing wouldn't have been, the stones wouldn't have been, what would you say, the whole tunnel out wouldn't have been blocked. So like, there weren't bad plans on paper, like compared to seven times when you're saying John, where it's like, we're going to go up and we're going to capture a white. Everybody can see that's an idiotic plan. So maybe that, you know, he couldn't foresee what was going to happen. Donny, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, he's just a very poor assistant manager. He's great at sort of like seeing what's going to happen, but he can't actually change events at all. And I think for like that might, you know, it's well done for him for being able to know that like that Cersei was going to go and that like she was, that Khaleesi and or Daenerys was going to get violent on the Red Keep and all that kind of stuff. But like, he did nothing at all to affect her from not doing that. And as the person who's supposed to be her most trusted advisor, he takes a big L. I would concur with the 3.
But it's because he's in love with her.
Yeah, but sure, like, that's, there's no, you can't say, you know, you can't excuse people. If this was a football team's rating. You can't go, well, he didn't play that well, but he was in love. So what can we say?
Yeah,
but that, I think that's the reason why he doesn't just all out say to her, like, you're insane, why are you doing this kind of thing?
You're not supposed to be in love with your coworkers. I think that's
that's the other thing, exactly.
But can we talk about his scene with Jamie?
Yeah, I was literally about to say that he's a great motivator. Yeah. He's just not a very good motivator for Danny, which is the most important person to motivate.
The person he's supposed to have under control.
And also, I suppose Cersei didn't really listen to what he said, but he sounded good saying it. Mm. But I suppose, yeah, if you talk about like an assistant manager's job, sometimes it's an arm around the shoulder to one of your key players. And I thought he really stoked fires within Jamie.
Yeah, I thought that scene was really amazing and so emotional. And you kind of knew it was the last time they were going to see each other. Like, that was obvious. But everything he said was just so nice, so genuine. Like, you could tell that they really loved each other. And they've had such a rocky relationship for the whole of the show as well. So, I don't know. That's why I think your rating is a little bit harsh, to be honest.
Can I just jump in here with the... I just want a quick throwaway rating. The security system, the security guards at the... pretty poor work by these guys all around. Both to let Tyrion in there, and then also to just be so tuned out when Jamie ran away. I think they've got to be doing a better job. So I'm going to give them a one.
They just took Tyrion's word for it, really, didn't they?
There's a lot of army people who are getting ones out of tens or some zero out of tens in these. But we might actually move on to Jamie's rating. Actually, there's a tribute to the dead, really, we should do here. We've lost a lot of main characters in this week's show. We've lost Cersei, Varys, the Mountain, Hand of the Queen, the Hound, Jamie, and Dave, the head of the gold company, or whatever his name was.
Was that actually his name?
No, it's Harry Strickland. It's just the most, like, there's definitely a thing where the George R. R. Martin just sometimes, like, gives up on names. Like, he'll have, like, Aegon Targaryen, sixth of his name, Khaleesi, all this. But then it's just like, and this other lad, yeah, we're going to call him John. Dave, Harry, whatever. But, yeah, like, Jamie, we delayed his ratings last week, Donnie, because we thought there was a theory that maybe he was going down to King's Landing to actually kill Cersei. You had to rate him this week. What did you give him?
I would give him a 6. I think a decent performance. I mean, I was one of the people who didn't like what he was up to last week, and I don't like the way they used Brienne at all. Like, I don't understand why that romance had to come into the episode or into the show in any real way if it was just going to be abandoned so quickly. But we are where we are with it. I thought for a one-handed man to find his way into Cersei, like if you think of the end game where he got his desire was to die with Cersei in his arms, and you know he got there. It's overcome a lot of difficulties along the way, a lot of crowd trouble, and you know he was kidnapped or he was arrested and all these kind of things. So I think, and he also along the way nearly was going to get killed by Euron, seemed to be killed by Euron, but then ended up killing him. And when you consider the degree of difficulty with that, consider he only has one hand, gotta say, well done, Jamie Lannister, for getting as far as he did on the day, just as a pure performance. I thought he did quite well. You got to knock him, I think, maybe 2 points for being so stupid with just riding his horse around with his big golden hand. I mean, like, how dumb do you have to be? I mean, he admits it himself. But yeah, I think, like, you might deplore his inspiration in wanting to, be there with Cersei in their last moments. But, like, you know, that's who he is. That's what he wanted to do. And, like, he overcame a lot to get there. So I'll give him a 6. I wish he was just a little bit smarter about doing it.
Yeah, I think you're a bit harsh on that. I had him up around an 8. I suppose I didn't take into account the whole hand thing, as he said, he was the stupidest Lannister, or Cersei said. But, like, if you take away the gripe that people have with him, oh, why is he going back to Cersei and all this, he's a changed man. Like, what do we learn from the marriage referendum? Love is love. And you can't choose who you love. And if it happens to be your twin sister, and if she just happens to be one of the most evil people that ever existed,
So
what can he do about it? Yeah, he just he can't hide his feelings. He can't run away from them. And he did the opposite. He went. He did exactly what he said he was going to do. He was going to die in the arms of the woman he loved. That's the way he wanted to die. He got there in the end. Like, if you look at all the mayhem there was in the town for him to get around and then kill Euron. I know it probably was fatal for him anyway. But look, sure, he was going to die. It didn't make any. It didn't have any lasting impact. The injuries he sustained from there, he kind of ran them off. Which is like, he was only worried about that one day, and sometimes it just, that's all it takes. Yeah. It was a Roy Keane against Juventus type of performance for him.
I'm not going to be able to do any of these sports references, but I'm loving them. What I was going to say, Donny, about your point of what was the point of the Brienne thing, I think that was to show us that, like, that was the life that he could have had. Like, he could have been, and we thought that he was going to be this person. Like, we thought that he was changed. They developed him so much. Like, Jamie is one, like, probably one of my favorite characters in the whole thing. They developed him so much over the show, and last week, was it last week that him and Brienne got together finally, and I was so delighted, everyone was so happy about it, and it was to show that this is the man that he could have been. So the fact, I'm kind of annoyed at how quickly he turned as well, though. Like, I thought that again, it was just kind of rushed, that suddenly he was just like, actually, I miss Cersei, I'm heading back. Like, I actually thought he might have been going back to kill her originally.
Yeah, that's what I think as well. But then I thought when they were together, when they actually got reunited last night, that it made complete sense. Like, once you saw him together with him, it was like, you couldn't nearly bear any ill feelings towards him. It was like just that thing of
the
gender standard.
What he knew was who he really was. And like, I think that was the case for a lot of the characters, was actually that you can't really change, which I don't know, it's kind of an awful message, but it's just that everyone kind of, no one really changed. Like, they all ended up doing what they were all, like, how they started out. Do you know what I mean? So, so Jamie, I love him and I think he's an amazing character. I was a little bit disappointed in his death. I think he deserved a bit of a bigger send off, like a bit of a bigger thing. Yeah. But the fact that he was with Cersei and they were together does make sense, I suppose.
But do you think 6 out of 10 is too low for him? Was Donny too harsh? Oh,
it's really hard because it was his last episode. I feel like I will naturally want to rate him as a whole, like as a whole character, like for the whole show. Yeah. You know, it's hard not to. I'd probably give him an 8
for last night.
I think so.
That's
because I love him.
And
I just love him.
Donny, can we agree with a compromise? A 7 out of 10.
Yeah,
but can I just make this point that, like, if this thing matters so much to him, put a glove on your hand, man. I mean, like, it's really, like, it's so obvious. If you're just asking for trouble. He's the most recognized guy in the Seven Kingdoms with that hand. And even, like, he even forgot to do it when he's back when he was getting into King's Landing.
Yeah,
like,
that was unforgivable.
If you have any priorities, put a glove on.
Yeah. forever about forgetting to hide his hand when he was riding down the King's Landing. When he got there and he was still like,
he was waving.
Well, before that, at least then he was trying to be recognized as a new, I am Jamie Lannister. But he was going around with a hood on him.
Yeah.
And it's like, the hood, your head isn't the issue. It's the hand, as you said yourself. Chloe, he did, of course, as we mentioned, die in the hands of the woman he loved.
Yeah.
Or in the arms of the woman he loved. Mm. You had Cersei. What did you give her out of 10?
So I gave Cersei an 8.
An 8?
Yeah, which I know is insane.
She died. She lost the war.
I know, right? This is probably not how this podcast is supposed to be done at all. But again, I keep thinking, like, big picture. Like, Cersei is such an unbelievable character. Like, she's unbelievable because when she's evil, right? When she's in that evil mode, you hate her so much. Like, you really hate her. Like, when she killed Missandei, I didn't even care about Missandei that much, but when she killed her, I was like, oh my God, I can't wait for this woman to get beheaded. Like, I hate her. And she really brings you to that place where she's just so cold and you just really, really want her to die. But then she just becomes so vulnerable, like, in a second. So last night, as soon as I saw the city going and I saw her getting upset and being like, oh, this is the end, I was like, I feel sorry for her. I feel sorry for her. And then when she was like running away, and then when she saw Jamie and burst out crying, and like, that's actually who she is. Like, who she is and who she has been for the whole show is this really hard exterior, really cold. But actually, she's actually just a really loving mother who would literally do anything for her children, anything at all. Jamie was the love of her life. And yeah, I don't know. I just thought she went... I was actually, again, I was disappointed that there was no kind of standoff with her and Danny, or there was no, like, I feel like, again, with, like, because Jamie as well, I feel like they should have got a bigger death. Yeah. Like, the fact that they just died because a roof collapsed on them is just so disappointing.
There was a lot of memes given out going, I've waited 8 seasons for Cersei to be killed by a rock.
Exactly. Like, when you think about it like that, it's just so ridiculous, because she has been such an amazing character and such a great villain. But I just think, like, the way that they developed her in that she's, like, so evil, but then also she can be so vulnerable as well. And I thought last night was a perfect example of that. Because you start off really hating her and really wanting her to go, and then suddenly she's just this vulnerable mother again.
Yeah, I definitely got a lot of that when she met with Jamie, especially. You did kind of feel like, oh, Jesus.
You just feel, Cersei. You're just like, and you forget their bloody brother and sister. And you actually, I actually thought it was a really lovely scene. But I am slightly annoyed that that's how they went. I thought that was a bit annoying, like that they just died so easily in the end.
I can see where you're coming from with an 8 out of 10 for character written, but in terms of
I suppose the episode,
her tactics were shit, her result was shit.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, she ran away and didn't stand and fight
and
like
actually,
a great leader would.
Like, how much, all she did was stand in a window for the whole thing. Like, she must have done her scenes in about 5 minutes, like, for this last episode. I'm rethinking my rating already, because I'm doing this wrong. I keep doing character overall, but she was just one of my favourites for the whole thing. So, yeah, what would you have given her, Mark? Would you have gone lower?
I can see where you're coming from. I was still going to give her, I think she got everything tactically wrong. So,
yes,
like, you can't give her any more than a 3 or a 4, I would have said.
And it was way easier than I thought it was going to be as well. Like, but I thought she'd have something. I thought she's going to have something up her sleeve, and there was just nothing.
There is the other thing, though, that she was definitely, like, she was the underdog in this. And maybe that was all she could have done. I don't see what other tactics. It's that kind of thing, you know, like, it's like the Ireland football team. Like, do you leave yourself exposed and go gung-ho and just end up getting burned in a load of flames above it? Like Dragonstone, if you decided to attack her, like, you sit back, you try and soak up the pressure. It didn't work, but Dany is possibly the greatest, she had the greatest war team of all time, the greatest army. Donnie, what did you think?
The scoreboard doesn't lie here, guys. This reminded me of Germany 7, Brazil 1 in the 2014 World Cup. It was you have to remember is this battle's taking place on Cersei's home turf. Is like, she knows this place better than anybody. She's got to have some kind of a plan. She's very cocky about her Grey Fleet or whatever. Sorry, the
Iron Fleet.
Yeah, the Iron Fleet and their crossbows, the Golden Company. She thought history was on her side, that because the Red Keep had never been breached before, and like ultimately. All of that cockiness was very misplaced, and it was terrible management by her. You'd have to say, if you look at the scoreboard at the end of the match, her whole city's gone, everybody's dead, she's dead. You'd have to. I think it's a 2 at the, and I think I'm being generous.
Can I just say though, Danny, you rated Danny low, and she absolutely killed it. So that's your theory. I don't know, Cersei getting as low as that.
Well, I think. Just to argue against that is that, like, what Dany could have done is, you know, she had that battle won very easily. She could have just taken the city and even just taken out Cersei and then be done with it.
Oh,
and
sorry, then, you mean like her methods then? Her methods are getting...
Yeah, I think her methods have kind of undermined her.
Gotcha.
It's what that battle did for Dany going forward is the issue, not the fact that she won the battle, I think. Mm. But the Gold Company stinks of someone signing Mario Balotelli in the hope that he'll rescue them. You had the Gold Company as a whole to rate, Donny. I can't imagine you give them more than a 0 out of 10.
Yeah, I mean, I think you give them like a 1 just for turning up and for having good hair.
Very funny, in fairness. It was a great little comedic thing to add in. They literally didn't get a look in.
It's also a lovely juxtaposition between, like, John when he was face down with, the Boltons? That's how the... when he came back, and he was just kind of like standing faced at this whole army of horses coming towards him, and he stood and faced it like a man. Mm. Whereas Dave, the Gold Company guy, just wheeled around and tried to run away.
Yeah, absolutely.
And got killed.
Just fled the scene instantly.
Speared through the back.
Although that is the more realistic thing to, like, I'm sure many
that's probably
would
what
do
you should
the same
done.
Thing.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a bit like when Trent Alexander-Arnold was taking that corner and all the Barca players had their backs turned on it. I mean, like, how do you have your backs turned on a dragon? Like, you think you would be a little bit aware of those guys coming through, but anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
They didn't last very long.
couple of other people to get through here who met their untimely death. Varys at the very start. Chloe, you had him.
Yes.
Like, it's hard to know. He got killed for his actions, yes, but he was proved right.
Yes. That's why I also gave him quite a high rating. I gave him an 8 because maybe I'm being too generous. But
no, I think you're not far off.
I gave
off
him
that
an
one.
8, right? Because he's not someone that I liked for the whole show, actually. Like, he was kind of always a little wormy little, like, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But in the last episode, like, he died nobly. He completely accepted his death. I think he knew that that was inevitable because he, like, it was out in the world that he knew this and he wasn't happy about it. And yeah, I thought he died really nobly. He tried, we saw him doing the letters, writing the letters. We don't know who that's to. We can only assume it's to all the lords and stuff, or like the Knights of the Vale or whoever he's writing to. So he was trying his best to fix things. He knew from the start what way it was going to go. He tried to convince Tyrion, who was stupid enough to, like, actually, Tyrion just completely ratted him out instantly.
Yeah.
Like, he just completely fucked him over. And, like, Varys is the one, and exactly, like, the fact that his last line was, I hope I deserve this, I hope I'm wrong, is just so, like, poignant because of what happened.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I rated Varys really high. And did we pick up that he was trying to poison her at the start?
No.
Okay, do you know when he's like, the girl is coming in and she's like, oh, she's not eating and blah, blah, blah. And he's really concerned. He's like, oh, I don't know what he says. It's something like, oh, we'll have to keep trying or something.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't pick up on that, but I was watching it with my brother and he said it. He was like, do you not pick up that he's trying to get rid of her? And I heard someone else in the office said it today as well. So I think he was trying to poison her and it wasn't working.
Oh.
As well. So he was trying to, he really was trying his best to solve all of this for everyone. And he said that all he ever wanted was a ruler that deserved the throne and would rule peacefully. So he knew that, well, he thinks that John is that person. So yeah, I gave him a really high rating.
I agree. I suppose you docked him a couple of points just because of purely that treason, you know, being treasonous is generally a dastardly thing to do, even if it's for the right reasons.
Yeah.
There's a lot of in the shadows and all that. But Donnie, I can't find a fault with 8 out of 10.
No, I think, yeah, like, you could fault him for being very quiet for a long time in previous episodes. But, you know, his sort of retirement speech was short but sweet. And, you know, he was nice enough to leave his winter's medals behind for, I guess, for maybe somebody, Martha, or one of the people around the place. So, yeah, well, he'll be missed, I think.
I thought his dad was pretty savage as well. Like, the way the dragon just appears over her head was, like, amazing. And yeah, I don't know, I just think he went out really nobly, and actually wasn't the kind of death I expected for him, because he was always kind of this he was a little bit conniving, wasn't he, for the whole show.
He faced it like a man.
Yeah, and you never really trusted him or anything, and then yeah, he just went out in a really noble way.
I'm going to give Martha a solid 8 out of 10 as well. She was doing her job rightly, very observant as well, that she thought people were onto her. And she was dead right.
Yeah.
And she managed, she actually survived the whole killing thing compared to Varys. So she didn't get executed for her actions. And maybe she'll grow into,
I was going to say,
next,
I wonder if she next generation.
Yeah, exactly. She's like the next Iron Man or something.
Yeah.
Very quickly as well, Qyburn, Hand of the Queen.
God,
my least favourite character perhaps in the history of Game of Thrones.
Oh, good Lord.
He got his comeuppance.
Oh, yeah, God. When he turned up last episode, episode 4, I was like, I don't remember anything he did before, but I remember that he's the one that brought back the mountain.
Yeah, he's a weasel.
He's an absolute
weasel.
He's awful. He's slimy. He's horrible. I hate everything about him.
Turkey neck.
Yeah. And although, okay, the best thing that he did in this episode, do you remember when, that's why I'll tell you, I gave him a 2 out of 10. I would have given him a 0, only that this scene was amazing. Do you know when Cersei's looking out and she's watching everything happening and she's like, it's okay because we have the Iron Fleet. And he's like, well, actually, they've been burned to pieces. And then she's like, okay, well, that's fine. Well, the Gold Company or my soldiers will fight to the death. And he's like, well, actually, oh no, you've lost all your, one of the scorpions or whatever. And he's just like, yeah, sorry, you've lost them as well. And she's just like, damn. Like, it's like such a funny scene for them to
be. It was like Daenerys with Sam, where it's like,
it was,
you know,
so good. Yeah.
I had to execute your father. Oh, well, at least my brother will welcome me.
He's got to.
I also thought he had good tactical awareness that they needed to, you know, pull, draw back, go a bit defensive,
yeah,
and perhaps run away and hide. Mm. And if she had run away and hidden a bit earlier, she could have gotten away.
Yeah.
If she'd get there earlier when Jamie was just coming into the Red Keep and met him on the shore, like, job done.
Yeah.
And if she had listened to him, he may have been one of the more wise tacticians on the night.
Yeah. Well, I thought, and then his death was fantastic. Like, perfect for him, because he didn't deserve any kind of good, like, noble death or anything. So I was so delighted when he just gets absolutely annihilated by the mountain in about 2 seconds. I thought that was great. I think I laughed, actually. Isn't that terrible?
Oh, yeah.
I think I laughed when it happened.
I think we all did.
Yeah. But, like, I think that's the perfect way. That was, like, what's the word? Like, it was the perfect way for him to go, because that's the kind of character he was. So I was delighted.
The mountain. Sorry, go on.
He was ultimately the victim of player power, you'd have to say. Like, you've got the big guys in the dressing room, and, you know, assistant managers just can't tell. They don't often have the authority to tell the kind of big lads what to do. And I think he probably learned the hard way that you got to respect dressing room politics and leave the sort of stars.
Yeah, exactly. And if it's a thing that you're constantly a yes man for most of your career, when you actually make a valid point, no one's going to listen to you, because all they want, you know, they want to only be surrounded by a yes man. The mountain obviously killed him, but then he met his end very shortly after that, Chloe.
Yeah.
What did you make of his performance on the night?
Oh, so I gave him a 5 out of 10.
Ah!
I know, everyone's going to be...
5?
I don't think I'd do these... 5?
He had one job. Kill humans, and he got.
See, again, it's just because I just don't like him. I think he's horrible.
No, but I mean, as in, you should have given him a 2.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Yeah. Oh, sorry. That's okay. I gave him a 5 just because, I mean, he was what he was. Like, he was a horrible monster that just, like, all. But, he's a robot. Like,
yeah, but he's a horrible monster robot who didn't do anything horribly monsterly. Like, they are a massive. He is her biggest asset on the ground, right? He's a natural phenomenon. He's her dragon. Like, Daenerys doesn't have this sort of giant Frankenstein.
He's what she had that was special and different. Yeah.
And what did he do? Who's the only person he killed in the entire episode?
I suppose, yeah.
Fucking Hand of the Queen. The only other person on Cersei's side.
That's true. Yeah, so, that's true.
He was useless in the war.
Yeah.
And then he went and got himself killed by the Hound, who was half his size. So I would have said that... I would have had the mountain as another 1 out of 10, and
really?
I would have had I had the hound a solid. What did I give? I gave the Hound 10 out of 10.
Oh,
I
said, did you?
Yeah, I had him 8 out of 10 when he got rid.
Did
when
you
he,
like their fight and their whole thing?
Yeah, well, like, he first of all, I gave him an 8 out of 10 for his first of all getting rid of Arya, right? That sensible tactics, and you've seen this before from the Hound, because during the Battle of Blackwater Bay, he said the exact same thing to Sansa, where he was like, look at me, we have to get out of here, you will die.
Right.
Exact same thing to Arya. Mm. Thought it was great tactical awareness and a great motivation as well. He really convinced her, in for someone who was dead set for seasons upon end on getting to Cersei. Mm. So he managed to do that. And then, like, everything about his battle with the mountain, he wasn't afraid. He was the complete underdog, but he went in hell's bells. He survived something that Oberyn Martell couldn't survive, which was trying to get your eyeballs crushed.
Oh god, that was
and
awful.
He jumped into his biggest fear. He's absolutely terrified of fire. He jumped into flames of rage and brought the mountain down with him.
Yeah.
You can't not give him at least a 9 out of 10, if not 10 out of 10.
Was he motivated by revenge for the whole show though? Like, is that something that just came, like, we just realised that episode, that he seems to just be completely motivated by fighting the mountain.
Yeah, I suppose, like, it's not something I really thought about, because I was just looking at his performance on the night. He was another kind of redemptive character. He's not like Jamie, where he was like this monster at the start, and it turns out that he was created. Like, I know the mountain has turned into a sort of Frankenstein, but if you think about it, he also, the mountain before that, created what the Hound became because of the fact that he burnt his face.
Yeah.
And in many ways, then it's that kind of thing of that he is not, like, if we keep him with the Frankenstein analogy, Frankenstein isn't the monster. It's the way he's treated.
Yeah.
It's not his own doing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a fair enough evaluation, I think. Donnie, what did you think?
I'm with you guys. I thought the Hound was maybe the star of the episode. you got to give him like so many marks for overcoming that very debilitating eye injury. Like, you know,
so
most players would
awful
be
to watch
subbed off after that.
Yeah.
But he found the second win somehow. And the Mountain, yeah, like, I mean, he
was
just
so invincible.
He's supposed to be, you know, in kind of invincible, and he proved that he wasn't. So it's hard to know. It's hard to know what the point of him is really in that show. So I'm going to echo you guys on that one.
I think the Mountain is borderline Bran. He's the Cersei version of Bran. Like, there's such a big deal was made about him, and then he turned out to be absolutely irrelevant. He was useless. He was only there to fight the Hound.
Yeah, no,
that was it.
That is a fair point. Because, yeah, he wasn't even on the ground at all in terms of fighting the soldiers and stuff, yeah. But then I think, obviously, it's quite poetic that they were the only people that they fought. That's, like, the Hound, that's all he wanted to do. So, yeah, I don't know. I thought their fight was fairly entertaining, I have to say.
It was great.
It was insane. And it went on way longer than I thought it was going to go on. And I didn't really know how it was going to end because he just wasn't dying. I was like, this guy, like, even when he got stabbed in the brain, like, that was insane. So, yeah, very entertaining fight. So, but yeah, I'm probably going to have to give him a lower rating.
I'd say the fight a 9 out of 10.
Yeah.
As a whole.
Yeah.
One other fight we saw was Jaime against Euron. Donnie, what did you make of the fight? And also, what did you make of Euron's performance overall?
Okay, so we have to, I mean, you know, you have to assess these players on both what they did in the show and then base that against previous performance. He's coming in, I guess, after playing the game of his life, taking a dragon out. So you'd have to look at the destruction of the whole Iron Fleet in about 5 seconds as pretty underwhelming, I guess, from a Euron perspective. You know, he seemed to only get maybe 2 shots off, really. And I think they were living on the laurels of their earlier victories there, and they completely failed in their job. And Euron is the guy in charge of that. She has to bear the responsibility as their coach. Now, how he managed to kind of, like, I guess, survive in the water, then swim over to that little place where the rowboat is. And can I just say, this was on my radar last time, and when they were talking about the skeff, and then there's another unusual nautical term in this week's episode when they were talking about a dinghy.
Yes,
like, I just, such a specific word for a boat. And, like, I just couldn't, I just, it just struck me as really weird that they would describe a boat as a dinghy. But anyway, the fact that you're on
isn't
is,
a dinghy,
you know,
usually like an inflatable thing.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I thought they were going to go. Jamie was going to have to, like, start blowing this thing up.
Quick getaway, not possible.
But I thought Euron in that kind of fight there with Jamie was really, that was maybe his best scene in the run of the show. You know, the pride that he had when he was saying that he killed Jamie Lannister. And, you know, the rivalry between them, I wasn't excited to see them having that when it started. But then by the end, I thought Euron, despite his kind of atrocious clothes, really had a good game. He kind of had a good second half, I'd say. So I give him a 5.
Yeah, it's hard to know. Like, I talked about this last week where I was talking about how he's a great character. He had the potential to be a great character, but they kind of just brushed over him so quickly. They rushed it. And also, even in that rushing, there was a great point made by Chris Ryan, who's the editor of The Ringer. He was reacting to this week's show. He was talking about how that story in that couple of minutes where him and Jamie were fighting is such a better one than him just having a horn on him for Cersei. That it was like, he's actually obsessed with Jamie.
Exactly.
That, you know, he's seen this guy who was a heroic, you know, regarded as a hero, the Kingslayer throughout all of Westeros, whereas Euron's come from a place that is derided and is laughed at.
Yeah.
And that he kind of envied what Jaime had.
He wanted to be known
Prince
and legendary.
Charming.
Yeah.
Exactly. So he's gone after Jaime's woman, and he's gone after Jaime's sort of reputation within the army. Mm. And the fact that he ended up then going, I killed Jaime Lannister.
That's why I thought his final line was fantastic in a way, because that's all he cared about. Like, he wanted to be known and be famous and be legendary and be respected, I think, in a way as well. Because, like you said, he's coming from, what's the name of there?
The Iron Islands.
Iron Islands.
Yeah, but, like, that's the thing is that it's all he ever wanted, but it was never actually really hinted at.
Yeah, they didn't develop him enough at all. And like, I've heard, I haven't read the books, but I've heard that in the books he's a fantastic character, and you hear loads about he develops a lot over the whole the whole season of books. Is that what you say?
The whole series.
Whole series of books. So yeah, I think they kind of missed a trick there with him. He should have come in much earlier.
I do think, though, as good of a character as enjoyable as he has been to watch, he has lost the Iron Islands. That's he didn't even give a shit. He took over the Iron Islands, and then it's all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, Yara's got the Iron Islands back. And he lost the battle. So yeah, Donnie, like, he's a 5 out of 10 max, I think.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah, and then like his final line, as great as it was in some ways, it was a little bit silly because he kind of looked at the camera, which I thought was a little bit...
Yeah, I think he was just looking out into the distance.
Okay, I was like, oh God. Like, I laughed again. Yeah. I kind of laughed.
The only thing is, though, I know he died thinking that he killed Jaime Lannister, but he didn't.
Exactly.
It was that big rock in the head that did him in the end.
Yeah.
Jon Snow. Now, Jon, the much derided Jon Snow, has never gotten a rating above, I think, 5 out of 10 maybe was the max we've given him so far, Donny. But I have given him... Oh, I've given him 3 different ratings here. I think I've given him a 7 out of 10. I thought this is one of his stronger episodes.
That is absolute.
It's not, though, because...
Ridiculous.
Hold on now. All we've done is give out about John being stupid, charging into battle, head first, when it wasn't on. It's like, why are you going after the White John? Why are you going to try and fight the Night King? Why are you screaming at a dragon? That he had no tactical awareness whatsoever. Now, if we go back to the Battle of Winterfell, and we celebrated Sansa for a really wise line that she had when she was down in the crypts, where she said, the bravest thing is to realise that we can't do anything at all. Jon Snow did the brave thing. For once, he had a bit of cop on. He didn't go charging in, trying to stop everything. He didn't go trying to get to Dany or trying to solve everything by just running around and screaming and shouting. He didn't go try shout at the dragon, for instance, this week. He had a issue going, what am I going to do here? Realised he was helpless, saved that woman from getting raped, and then wisely told everybody to fall back, which is the last thing Jon Snow will ever do, and got them to safety. So why are you
I just think he's been so disappointing this whole season. Also, I would say he's the reason that Dany went crazy. All he had to do was not tell anyone for maybe a week. Literally.
It's a good point.
Like, all he had to do was hold back for how long and not tell anyone, not tell Sansa and Arya that whatever, like that he's a Targaryen. He didn't need to tell them that instantly. And he did it literally instantly. Like, was that the same day?
Yeah, but see, that's like...
She went crazy. He's the reason that this happened.
You dock him points for that last week.
Okay, but
given the situation he was in this week, I think he did as well as he could.
Well, I still would say that he's the reason that this happened. I suppose he's a big reason.
If he just had to play along and keep shifting his aunt, exactly, everything would have been all
right. Exactly. And the fact that he's just been so dedicated to her the whole time, and again, it's kind of a Tyrion thing as well, that like, he must have known deep down that this was going to happen. He was with her in that final scene where she said, fear it is, or whatever line was that she said. He must have known that there was a huge chance that she was going to turn the way she did. And again, just didn't do anything about it.
Love is love, Chloe.
Oh, no.
Love is love. Donnie, settle this. What would you give him, Chloe? What would you give him out of 10? I'd give him 7.
Oh, I'd probably give him a 4.
A 4. Yeah. Donnie?
I'd be around 6. I think it's a very big philosophical argument you've opened there with Jon Snow. Ultimately, he stuck true to his kind of playing philosophy over the sort of orders of, I guess, the manager. So, you know, he stayed true to who he was, and I think you have to respect him for that. But, you know, he does have a lot to answer for in how we got to where we are.
Yeah.
And he'll have to answer for that next week, I think. So I'd be sort of like, you know, it's hard to get like a guy who saves a woman from getting raped. It's hard to be kind of so critical of him in these kind of things. And ultimately he didn't, you know, he did, I guess, like we're talking about treason. Like he did sort of when he pulled the guys back, he did go against, he was going against the sort of the team in that kind of moment. So, you know, is that, you know, he, what he stayed true to his gut. And I don't know. I thought, yeah, six. I think he's in a tough spot.
Yeah, he stayed true to his gut a little bit late, though. Like, the place was half done for. And he was like, we better fall back. You know, like, I know you could see
he
it in his face.
He would have just got killed, I think, if he had to start shouting to fall back. Yeah, I think they were all equally terrified at that stage because the Jews were scorching everything.
Yeah.
Our own soldiers as well.
I just think he's been a bit disappointing and a bit boring this season. I don't know.
He's definitely, this season as a whole, definitely. But I just think on this week's
episode
we'll give him a six.
Yeah.
Grey Worm, this was a hard one because, again, like, I had him at one stage. I had him as a 9 out of 10. Killed Dave. He was a great in battle, but then he just went, blindly into another battle. He didn't need to, which isn't a good move for a general. I don't think he wasn't too worried about his men if he's just starting to kill other people. And also, they dropped their swords, for God's sake. It's such a cowardly act. So then I brought him back down. I said he'd let his temper get the better of him. So I brought him way back down to a 2 out of 10. But then my girlfriend was watching with me. Doesn't watch Game of Thrones all the time, which made a very good point, which is, like, to be fair, he's probably really frustrated because he has no Willy.
That was not what I was going to say. I was about to agree, and I was like, oh, that's not where you're going with this sentence. I was going to say, surely we can excuse him because he just lost the love of his life to Cersei, and he's filled with rage. He's also a warrior. Like, that's who he is as well. And he is completely dedicated to Daenerys as well. And I don't think he was ever going to go against her. He was never going to pick Jon Snow over her. So the fact that he lost his mind and, like, just was like, all right, we're going with this. Like, why not? And he's extremely angry. Like, he's hurt and upset and really, really angry with Cersei and with that whole thing. So I think he reacted the way that many people probably would in that situation.
Yeah, he's not a man you have in that team for guile. He's a man. He's a
warrior.
Yeah, he breaks up play. Yeah. He does exactly what it says on the tin. So I suppose I shouldn't have expected.
Yeah,
much more
and the
from
one
him.
Person that was bringing out emotion in him and making him really human was Missandei, and she's gone. So he really has nothing to lose. So he was like,
so you think I was close up with the 9?
I think not. I'd probably give him a 7 or 8. Like, I don't know. I think he was. I think he did what a lot of people would do in that situation.
We'll go 7.5.
Okay.
7.5. Donny, another warrior on the night who had an absolutely stellar performance was Drogon.
I mean, this was the game of his life, wasn't it? 10 out of 10.
Yeah, unbelievable.
He didn't put a foot wrong, to
no,
be fair.
No, literally didn't put a foot wrong, a neck wrong, a wing wrong, a head wrong at all. Like, from Varys at the start, then straight through to the battle, he was incredible.
He just did. Yeah, he was MVP.
He's lost two of his brothers as well. Like,
that's why he's out for blood. Recent though. Times, he's angry too.
But he put that behind him. Like, he was clearly in mourning still, and it was great to see him take to the field so soon after.
Yeah,
I think with the dragons, a lot of reputation is a big thing when they were transferred over to Westeros. I started to wonder after seeing some of their early performances, what are these dragons really all about? Like, they're living on past glories and all this kind of stuff, but. It was nice to see him finally, kind of let off his lead and be untethered and just, play the kind of, play the game that he wants to play, which is just basically murdering everybody. he really was effective. And, it's just, you kind of wonder about, what might have been this team when you think of, a front three of him, Rhaegal, and Viserys. It just would have been a team that would have been very hard to stop for years. I couldn't see anything less than 10 for Drogo.
Lastly, we have a player who didn't get to do a lot going forward, but I thought was good under the defensive. Arya, she could have a lot to say yet in the remaining episode, but she was hard to rate because what did she do at the end? She ran in to King's Landing. Didn't follow through on what she was trying to do when she got to the Red Keep. Tried to escape again. Got a load of people killed by saying, we need to run away. We need to go or we will die here. And then they all immediately died. But she did survive in the end, which I suppose you have to give her something for that. So maybe it's a 6 at a stretch.
Yeah, I really, really, really enjoyed her scenes, actually. I suppose it's probably more rating the actress, though, in my head. Like, I thought she
also,
was amazing.
It's also written just the way it was filmed, that you got to see the destruction through her eyes. It was like you really got to see it on the ground.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I thought those scenes were fantastic, because they really gave you, they were just hopeless. She must have been nearly killed 4 times. the whole way through. Like, you think she's gone and then she was coming back every time. And I think her trying to save those people was, yeah, the hero coming out and her being like, oh, this is fine, I'll just save, blah, blah. But then the hopelessness again, like they just got completely annihilated as soon as they stepped out from where they were hiding. And I do think there was a bit of, my brother made this point as well, I do think there is a bit of her looking around, like seeing what Daenerys was doing and being like, that's what I could have been, like that's where anger gets you. Because she, anger and revenge and stuff was... yeah. Motivating her for so long. And Gendry was kind of her way out of that too. He was like, oh, come be my wife and be a lady and live a nice life. And she was like, that's not me. Whereas I think her kind of looking around at all the destruction and everything that was going on, I think was a bit of her being like, oh shit, like that's where I could end up if I continue on the way I'm going. So I just wonder in the next episode, is she going to be out for blood, like to get Dany, or is she going to be a new person and go back to Gendry or something? Like, I don't know what they're going to do. Again, in a way, I kind of hope that she's still a bit like vengeful, because that's who she is and that's who they've built her up to be. Another one that I think they've built her up to be something, and it'll be really annoying if they just take her back again, you know, like, so yeah, but I did really enjoy her scenes. I thought that they were really good. But again, rating wise, it's hard.
Yeah. Donnie, what did you think? I suppose you're also, you probably had a keen eye on the white horse at the end. Yeah. I know how much you love rating the animals. So they probably came as a duo.
Was he the Gold Company's horse?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, wasn't
sure. Was horse?
No, he did a great job. I mean, you have to give him a nick for just
for being there at the right time.
Yeah, and surviving.
Hard to rate Arya. Some games, it was just one of those kind of defensive performances where you're just trying. Literally, what she was trying to do is get through the 90 minutes without suffering a career-threatening injury. Yeah. And
nothing was going right for her, really.
Yeah.
No, she wasn't put in a great place by her teammates. And maybe there wasn't really a plan other than just to sort of just get through and survive. And you know, she found her horse and she's on her way back to Winterfell, I think. And I think, you know, if her team want to have any chance in the next game, the final game, the final, they're going to need probably the game of Arya's life. So I think, you know, she'll have learned a lot from that battle. And I think she'll have some ideas and a lot of motivation for what should be quite a dramatic and bloody cup final.
Yeah, like, I mean, she suffered a lot of, you know, it was a bad away loss, but in the second leg, you'd give her every chance. She's still in this tie. If the Champions League saw us, then I think is that these two-legged games, you can't rule out some mad second leg comeback. Very quickly, just before we go, there's a couple of other people to mention. Sir Davos, Smuggler Supreme.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to rate him this one because...
didn't do a whole lot.
The only thing he's been good at all this time was smuggling. And it didn't work out. He didn't have the foresight to see that they could get trapped in there. And the dinghy... like, I suppose you give him extra points for the fact that the dinghy didn't... it turned out to be an inflatable one. Maybe Tyrion was only asking for an inflatable dinghy. And Sir Davos went one further. But then also, the man has no fingers in one of his hands. Which is why I thought, well, that's why he didn't fight in the Battle of Winterfell. He couldn't hold a sword. All of a sudden, he shows up in King's Landing with a sword.
Yeah.
And he's fighting. And I presume he survived. There was no shot of him getting killed. So
no, I think he ran off. Which I
he was saving all the people. Remember
he was saving all the people on the ground. And like the looks between him and John were great, where it was like, oh God, this is not going well. Like they were just, you know, they were on the same page. But he's a hard one to rate, because he wasn't in it a whole lot.
I still think I'd give him a 7 because he stood up and fought. And then also did the right thing, I suppose, when the time came. I would have just deducted him points for the Smuggler team. But then again, who can foresee genocide?
Like, they didn't. You know,
he wasn't expecting genocide. The other person, obviously, who featured was the Packers quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. He was an extra. He was a man saving some woman running through the street.
I did not know this.
Unfortunately, he didn't feature long enough, I think, to be rated. Aww. He was a late sub. Donnie, have you any closing thoughts on the episode overall? Any people that you wanted to give a mention to that we haven't covered already?
Overall, I mean, it's just one of those episodes that I hope I never see again. You know, someday when the show's on again in like 10 years or it's on Netflix and you just are like scrolling through some of the definitely episodes that I might just watch again for the crack. But like, this is just one that was just too bloody and too violent. And it's in terms of other player ratings, I don't have a whole lot to offer. No,
Chloe?
No, there's no one that I think that we missed. I think what I'm interested in, I don't know, can we talk about next episode, what we think is going to happen? Predictions?
If you have anything out of your own gut, let's talk about it. Not fan theories.
Okay.
Because they turned out to be true a lot of the times. It's like, oh shit, I just read that on Reddit last week.
I didn't think, yeah, I suppose, yeah.
I think my prediction would be that Arya is going to kill Dany.
I think that would be kind of crap. It's too obvious.
Too obvious.
And I think the other obvious choice is that Jon is going to...
I don't see him doing it though. Yeah. I think I'm up a million miles
he's
away.
He's too emotional. Yeah. I don't think... He's, again, it's too hard for him.
Yeah. Like,
so...
Donnie, last week, Mick treated me like a piece of shit he had just walked on in the street when I suggested that Sansa may end up on the Iron Throne. But I'm telling you, she's moved a step closer this week, I think.
I love Sansa.
Well, I mean, just by process of elimination now, there's just not that many people left. I've heard rumors that, I mean, Bran might be there as well, because, I mean, if you just... John, it's hard to see him doing it based on everything he said to the media. And it's hard to see Cersei staying in her role given her clear madness. So how many people are left really?
One other idea I had was that either Arya or Jon kills Dany, and then like Gendry is just somehow in the room at the time. Like they're standing beside the Iron Throne or something, and they're like, here, that's your throne. And he's what? And he's like, well, I'm not the heir to the throne because the Baratheons overthrew the Targaryens. So you are the actual heir to the Iron Throne. So you have it. And maybe somehow, like they've done it before where they've just changed, you know, Eddard's brother, Ned Stark's brother, was originally meant to marry Catelyn. Margaery was meant to marry Joffrey. Then she went to Tommen, or she did marry Joffrey. Who can forget that wedding? but that it could be just a thing that Gendry ends up marrying Sansa and Sansa becomes queen.
Oh, well, I really love Sansa and I am disappointed in the writing of this, how it's kind of ended up that the one female character that we really thought could take the throne has been just turned into a mad person and it was kind of all of a sudden as well. So, but I am happy that we still have Arya, we still have Sansa, who are really strong female characters in it. So I think it would be amazing if Sansa comes into it as some kind of rival for Dany.
Yeah, time will tell. I think next week we're going to have to, it's so hard to avoid spoilers on the internet during the day on Monday. So I think we might have all to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, Monday morning, to watch this, to make sure to get a good one. We will be back, obviously, to rate everybody for the final ever episode of Game of Thrones next week. But until then, like I said, make sure to subscribe to the Rewind podcast. You can find us by searching the Rewind on all good podcast apps. Also, check out our pop culture section, the Rewind, on balls.ie. And until next time, mind yourself.